Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, John. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are you doing?
Good.
Okay, let's try it one more time. How are you doing?
Good.
All right, there we go. It's radio, okay? Well, here at Neighbors of Hope and our Men's Fresh Start Life Change Men's Ministry program, we've kind of adapted to our new environment. Would you agree?
Yeah.
And they're nodding their head yes in the affirmative. All right. But maybe our listening audience isn't quite aware that our men's ministry facility that was located on Broad Street is no longer there. And so we're in a temporary facility, graciously hosted by a neighborhood church here in Adrian. So I would invite our listening audience to hold our ministry in prayer as we continue to seek a permanent location for your future program services and housing. Before we went on the air, Mark, you selected a scripture that I thought your insight was pretty profound. And right on point when we think about downward mobility in Jesus. And that comes from the book of Acts chapter 3. We're going to do verses 1 through 16.
Yes.
Okay, could you read that for us, please?
One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from him. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the men held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in a place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One, and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see."
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. First impressions, first thoughts, comments, questions. What's your response?
What I see here is, People just like want to point to the miracle and just say, look at all these things that we as Christians can do. We get this holy anointing and we can make mountains move. But I think the greater point of these scriptures is that it's not really service just to give people what they want. Like we give people what they really need, and what we do when we do that, we have to empty ourselves, and we give to people what others won't. The people who would otherwise be ignored, or overlooked, or cast out, we're the ones that we tell come in. Like you guys did to me on May 26th, 2017. He didn't ask me where I came from. He didn't ask my history. He just said, "Come on in."
The radical hospitality of Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I gave a year of my life to the Life Change Program. And I'm going on 2 years at Neighbors of Hope altogether. And this is something I struggle with every day. Not every day is easy in this walk, but it's what I was meant for. It's what I was created to be. Even though sometimes it might hurt.
So let me ask you then, Mark. So if you show up and you have nothing and you're welcomed in the door, where along that journey then did you maybe personally experience a similar encounter that Peter and John do? If you have nothing, right, in the sense you're immersed in your own poverty, how are you able to help other people?
Well, it's when after I had joined the Life Change Program, after some months I became the team leader in Life Change, which you call the chief servant. Thank you. And the operative word being servant, that's how I felt. I didn't feel like a boss immediately. And to be, you know, ruthlessly honest with myself, I was kind of looking forward to that aspect. The most rewarding thing in the long run was seeing how the hard work and the grief that I endured in service to the Fresh Start guys. It was the real engine towards my transformation.
And I think we see that here with Peter and John. Right? I mean, as we read Beyond the Miracle, basically the same question. Don't think that this came from me. I mean, we are us. We don't have, this didn't. This is an opportunity for me to tell you where it came from. All right? So it's not of our own power. It's not of our own wealth. Right? It's out of our own poverty that opens up the door, empties ourselves so that we can be filled with the true power that transforms lives. And so it's not even us doing it.
For me, I'm kind of like what you're saying, but I mean, still to this day, I'm just a beggar pointing to where the bread's at.
I'm
trying to tell you where this bread came from. For me, like, you know, until you have, you know, a lot of poverty and you have, well, if you don't give credit due where credit's due, it's Jesus that did this, it's God that did this all through life. It's not me. And in my walk, you know, especially recently, like, I kind of forgot where I got the bread from. And kind of stop fully being that light pointing to where it's at. And it starts to think it's all on you that you did it. And as soon as you can't give away something you don't receive, if you don't give away what you receive, you start to lose it. That little loaf of bread gets littler and littler. And you're not going back to the one that made the bread, you know? So I feel like this is just for me. This is something that's continuing to do. Like, they weren't doing this just, hey, look, it's me, it's Peter, it's me, Paul, look what we're doing. No, they always gave credit, they always gave due where the power came from, or where the bread came from, you know? It wasn't just them, it wasn't, you know, it was these opportunities. So, you just got to capitalize on those opportunities when you have chances to do these things, to show other people Jesus through you. One of my friends told me a couple days ago, I was talking about something, going through stuff, and they were like, I said, bro, I'm seeing a lot of Zach right now. I don't see Jesus. And he was like, you know, shouldn't see you that much, you know. Yeah. Shouldn't see me. You know, I gave up Zach, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that resonates with all of us. You know, who am I really seeing in the mirror? Anybody else?
I definitely think, I like what you're saying there, Zach. Like, you know, we're all the, you know, at times we're all the beggar, you know, like we're all there. And I think that's like, for me, this story is much more than just the miracle of healing someone that, you know, couldn't walk. This is about that emotional healing. And I think Mark was hitting on that a lot too in his. And, you know, for me as like, you know, like an employee in this ministry and things like that, when I came here to start my internship or talk to them about starting my internship, you know, I was emotionally in a bad place. I was lost. I was begging for something new, but like, I didn't know what that was. You know, I didn't know where I was, my, where I'm supposed to go. Because, I mean, I had plenty of opportunities in life. I could be in a lot of different places.
And we told him, silver and gold we have not.
But he didn't.
But what we have.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you could be in other places doing other things. But there's something that told me I had to be here. And I give the credit to where the credit's due. And that, you know, that is God. You know, that is Christ. There, you know, internally pushing me to do something that I probably normally would have just avoided, you know, because of my own personal past and experiences within the faith community and feeling let down. But something brought me here in some way, and it just, everything lined, and I took that chance. And for that, like, I've been on an emotional journey that is getting better, and I'm seeing more, but it's like, I think Zach wrote it, you know, it's always a struggle, we're always struggling with it, but at the same time, you know, like, as long as we're moving forward and we recognize where we struggle, then we're in a good place still.
It's interesting when we think about, I mean, over my more than 12 years that I've been here, there's such a redemptive beauty in the experience of what we call Neighbors of Hope. Mm-hmm. And by that I mean, it's always fascinated me how the intimacy of solidarity is established, right? And the commonality of our own beggarliness, right? What we call the ragamuffin. And to some extent, we sit around here and we have this solidarity and this unity in our powerlessness, right? That really renders us, as we look around, going, where's the kingdom? I mean, it's a kingdomless power reality. Which, if you stop and think about it, is really what Peter and John are trying to express here. All right? It's not our power. It's not the power of Rome. It's not the power of the temple. And what's funny is we have to appreciate the beggar here is a lot like maybe some you know, panhandlers we may encounter. They're sitting outside, you know, the temple during the hour of prayer. They're pretty smart. They come there at the hour of prayer, hoping that after people go inside and pray, they may be a little more generous when they come outside. Right? Now, we in our beggarly states before coming here, we were pretty slick like that too.
There's still some awareness of the power of God through that, even though it's kind of a shady way of doing it. They still recognize that when people go in their prayer, there's power that comes out. They have more compassion. You see, so they, even though trying to get over on God and aware, like using people, they still recognize.
Yeah, and I'm sure that just as we experienced today. I mean, there are plenty of people that want to go to the local church and they want to get money for a utility bill, and they may not need the money for that. And then there are other people who legitimately need, you know, benevolent outreaches. To help with those things. It's always a mix. And I'm sure then you had some of the beggars were just that. And it may be because they had certain diseases. They just weren't allowed in the temple. They were excluded. So you're right. Part of that, the miracle here is the miracle of inclusion.
Yeah.
All right? And what we see in Peter and John really is this inclusion of, at that time, a kingdomless power. That the event permits Peter to then say, well, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about the kingdom of God. Right? And what happened with Jesus and what God was doing and all those other things. So the event becomes an opportunity to share good news. All right, gentlemen, well, thank you very much for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a Women's and Children's Transitional Housing Program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.